Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
OK, it's the A to Z of Merseyside football with John Keith. We're on to the letter H. We started with Sir Roger Hunt. We've done a couple more since, but we're moving to present day. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning. I'm glad you said there again Sir Roger, because although he's not officially a sir, he is in all our eyes.
Of course
he is. Yeah. Well, today we're doing someone who's a current Liverpool player, Jordan Henderson. Now, from being told he could leave Anfield to captaining both Liverpool and England and setting an international record, that's what Jordan Henderson's done. His ambition, determination and faith in his own ability impressively rewarded. The Sunderland-born midfielder was brought to Liverpool by manager Kenny Dalglish, signing him as a 20-year-old, already an England international, from his hometown club Sunderland, for £16 million in June 2011. He made his Liverpool debut 2 months later against his former club in a 1-1 draw at the Stadium of Light in the season's opening game. Henderson won a League Cup winner's medal when Liverpool beat Cardiff at Wembley on penalties the following February and was on the losing side against Chelsea in the FA Cup final later that season. But Dalglish's departure brought Brendan Rodgers to Anfield and could have signalled the end of Henderson's Anfield career, especially as he had to win a personal battle with a section of the Anfield crowd in an area of the team in which Steven Gerrard, of course, had excelled. Fulham's offer for Henderson in August 2012 was accepted by Liverpool, who left it up to the player. Rodgers said, "I couldn't promise Jordan he would be playing every week, but I could promise him that if he stayed, we would improve him." From that conversation, he said he wanted to stay and prove he could play regularly for Liverpool. And from that moment, he was brilliant for me. When Rodgers arrived, Henderson was playing predominantly in a wide role in a 4-4-2 formation, but a switch inside brought out his best qualities of incisive tackling and a range of passing ability, allied to strength and running power. He's also scored 24 goals from 280 Liverpool outings to the start of the forthcoming season. Perhaps Henderson's skills were best appreciated in his enforced absence from a key game in Liverpool history, the league clash with Chelsea at Fever Pitch Anfield in late April 2014, when Liverpool were homing in on what would have been their first title since 1990. A stoppage time sending off at Manchester City brought Henderson a three-game ban, and the loss of his midfield steel proved costly to Liverpool against Chelsea, who crashed 2-0 and their title hopes began to dissolve. Rodgers, recalling his so near and so far experience, recalled, "Jordan's physical presence and the pressing he brought to the team were really missed in that Chelsea game." Henderson, though, went from strength to strength and made his first start as captain the following November in a 1-0 home win over Stoke when Gerrard was dropped to the bench on the 16th anniversary of his Liverpool debut as a sub in 1998. And following Gerrard's departure in June 2015, Henderson was made club captain, but after playing in the opening two games that new season, he was forced to miss 18 matches after heel surgery and a broken foot. And by the time he returned in late November, Rodgers had been sacked and Jurgen Klopp installed as his successor. And Henderson led Liverpool to the finals of both the League Cup and the Europa League, both lost to Manchester City and Sevilla, respectively. He and Liverpool suffered a similar fate after mocking the odds and general expectation by reaching the 2018 Champions League final against Real Madrid, who, as we all know, won 3-1 in Kiev. A bitterly disappointed Henderson, though, picked himself up to star for England a few weeks later at the World Cup in Russia, when Gareth Southgate's side excited the country and reached their first semi-final since 1990. And in the process, 44-cap Henderson set an all-time England record of 30 international appearances unbeaten, a run ended by the loss to Croatia. The previous England record holder was Liverpool legend Sir Roger Hunt, who had 27 successive unbeaten outings. Now, sometimes, Steve, one moment in a match, one incident or one goal defines a player's career, recalled every time his name is mentioned. Such is the case with Brian Hamilton of Everton and Northern Ireland. It happened in the FA Cup semi-final against Liverpool at Manchester City's former Main Road home in 1977. Hamilton was one of the last of the old-style inside forwards before the modern demand for the all-singing, all-dancing, dynamic midfielders became the vogue. He was clever, crafty and cunning. He cut his football teeth at Irish league clubs Distillery and Linfield, working by day as an electronics technician for the Ministry of Defence at Belfast Aldergrove Airport. And it underlines his football skills. It was as a part-timer with Linfield, he was called up by his club and international manager, Billy Bingham, to join a Northern Ireland squad that included George Best, Pat Jennings and Derek Dugan.
Wow, some names there.
Exactly. And Hamilton joined all three of those stars in the Irish team when he made his international debut in a 3-1 World Cup qualifying win in Istanbul in December 1968, a match in which the great Jennings saved two penalties. Hamilton went on to win 50 caps in more than a decade and also captain his country before being appointed manager for a 4-year stint in February 1994. By then, he'd played for five English clubs, including Everton and Tranmere, who, of course, he also managed. Bobby Robson had paid Linfield a bargain £18,000 to sign Hamilton for his exciting Ipswich side in the summer of 1971, before Hamilton was reunited with Bingham, now Everton manager, in a £40,000 move in November 1975. He made 54 appearances for Everton, scoring 5 goals, but it was the 1977 FA Cup semi-final against Bob Paisley's Liverpool in the first 2 months of new boss Gordon Lee's reign that will forever be associated with Brian Hamilton. With less than 7 minutes left and the score 2-2, Ronnie Goodless's cross from the left was helped on by Duncan McKenzie for late substitute Hamilton to fire past Ray Clements. Everton and their fans went wild with delight, while Clements's prone position on the rain-sodden turf symbolised the dejection of treble-chasing Liverpool, to whom the goal was legitimate if agonising. Suddenly, though, the blue and red emotions did a crazy somersault. As linesman Colin Seal made his way back to the halfway line, satisfied it was a goal, referee Clive Thomas ruled out Hamilton's strike and signalled a free kick to Liverpool, to the stunned belief of everyone, including Liverpool. Treorchy official Thomas, who's permanently listed near the top of Everton fans' public enemies, made the singular comment before leaving the ground that day, an infringement occurred. When I spoke to Thomas by telephone for the Daily Express next day, he said, "There was never any doubt in my mind that Brian Hamilton was offside, and I'm delighted the cameras proved me right." Well, many observers feel that last remark is far from supported by film evidence. And there was yet another twist to the controversy years later, when Thomas wrote in his book, "I'm also convinced that Hamilton handled the ball too. If I'd not blown for offside, you Everton fans, I'd still have disallowed it for handball." Hamilton strongly rejected both of Thomas's claims and reflected on his outrageous fortune, thanks to the Welsh official, who'd also disallowed another Hamilton strike for Ipswich against West Ham in the FA Cup semi-final 2 years earlier. "It's fair to say," said Hamilton, "Mr. Thomas is not my favourite person. I wasn't offside at Main Road, and I certainly didn't handle the ball. It caught me on the hip bone. I don't think anyone except the referee had any doubt I'd scored a perfectly good goal." Everton duly lost the replay. 3 months later, Hamilton moved to Millwall for £12,000, followed by stints at Swindon, 5 years in charge of Tranmere, and then management spells at Wigan, Leicester, Norwich, a technical director post with Antigua Barracuda FC, and several media roles as a pundit. But every now and then, he wistfully wonders what might have been, perhaps what should have been, on that wet day at Main Road.
Fantastic story. Needless to say, Thomas has never seen an Everton Football Club these days, is he?
I wouldn't vouch for his safety, Steve.
Public enemy number one.
Outside the ground, I wouldn't vouch for his safety.
Brilliant. Brian Hamilton, what a character. And Jordan Henderson as well. The fascinating thing with Jordan Henderson is this sort of split of opinion that still exists on him. It almost doesn't matter how good Jordan Henderson performs. There'll always be a camp that won't accept him, of Liverpool supporters.
Yes, you hear it. I mean, as you know, I go to the games to report for RTE, and you can hear the murmur of the fans behind me and the comments. You know, as you say, it doesn't matter what he does. There's, in some of their minds, they've set opinion and it won't shift. But, you know, that's the way football is. Brian Hamilton, you mentioned, on his debut in Turkey, I covered the game for the Express, and we got lost in Heathrow Airport, and suddenly there came, "Would passengers Hamilton and Keith please go?" We had to rush to the gate to get on the plane, and we nearly missed the plane.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and Derek Dugan was waiting on the steps and said, he gave us a rollicking. He gave us a right rollicking.
Complete disorganisation.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Keith at the heart of it. Thank you very much indeed. A to Z of Merseyside football with John Keith. Radio City Talk.